Brothers and sisters in Christ, this time of the year that we've just been living through is often called the silly season, isn't it? And there's a sense in which we can understand why people call it the silly season. It's a time of endless partying, of wining and dining, often accompanied by sore heads and empty wallets. It's a time of frustration. And maybe you've shared some of that frustration as you were looking for presents, trying to find something suitable for Aunt Agatha again this year. And of course, afterwards, Christmas, you already find that some things are broken and not working. I was at Bunnings just yesterday and there was quite a few at the return counter. In fact, I joined them, something that I'd picked up that didn't work. And for many people, the focus is just on those material things. And the result is a sense of emptiness when it's all over, and so we understand why it's called the silly season. The Christian church, the focus is not on those things, or it shouldn't be. Focus is on the coming of Jesus, on his birth in Bethlehem. And we've spent a number of weeks during Advent thinking about his coming, and then especially on Christmas morning, his arrival on that morning in Bethlehem. But brothers and sisters, it's more than those things, and Pastor Andrew has pointed out during the weeks of Advent, and again he said it on Christmas morning, we're looking forward to the second coming of Jesus, his return on the clouds. And this morning, this small book of Haggai, this first chapter that we're looking at, will help us to think about the second coming of Jesus and help us in preparing for that. Notice in our text that Haggai is addressing himself to a particular problem, a problem that he spells out in verse 2, and then in the next two verses he elaborates on that. Verse 2 we read, this is what the Lord Almighty says, these people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. And then he comes with a second prophecy in which he elaborates. Verse 3, then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your panelled houses while this house remains a ruin? You see in those few verses, congregation, what the problem is. Problem is not straight out godlessness or disobedience. It is not a blanket refusal to do what God wants. The language is very clear. Israel is not saying, we don't want to do that, or we can't see the point in it. Problem in these verses is procrastination. That's a big word, isn't it, boys and girls? Procrastination. You ever heard the word procrastination before? Mum and Dad said to you sometimes, don't procrastinate. Maybe not all adults know what procrastination is. What's procrastination? Putting things off. Boys and girls, it's when Mum says to you, go and tidy up your room and pick up all your toys. And you go outside and play and you think, I'll do that later. That's procrastinating. Mum says to you, go and make your bed, and you ignore her and you decide you'll do it later on. Procrastinating. It's when young people have got an exam coming up and they're saying, instead of preparing for it now, I'll do some studying tomorrow. Or some project that Dad is working on. And has been in the garage for weeks and months and nothing's happening. He keeps procrastinating. It's putting off till tomorrow what you don't feel like doing today. Do you see, congregation, we're not talking about straight out refusal or rebellion. What we're talking about this morning is the sin of neglect. The time isn't yet right. Later on we'll be cool. To understand that a little better, congregation, let me just give you a little bit of historical background to this time in which this happened with Haggai. Haggai is a prophet who lived and worked after the 70 years that Israel spent in exile in Babylon. And you remember from your Bible history that Jerusalem had been devastated and Israel had been carried off by Nebuchadnezzar. But then under King Cyrus, they'd been allowed to return home. And under Ezra, and you can read about that in the book Ezra, they'd begun to rebuild a city. And under Nehemiah, you can read about that in the book by his name, they rebuilt the city wall and they made a start on rebuilding the temple. And it had all begun with a great amount of enthusiasm. He was a keen bunch of people, congregation, that put their mind to the task. And they'd laid the foundation, and even an altar had already been built. But you see, then there had been a few glitches, a few hold-ups, and opposition had increased as the neighboring Samaritans began to oppose their work. And maybe we need to keep in mind that the number of those who actually returned from Babylon were small in any case, relatively few in number, just a little over 42,000, and that included all their servants. That's about a quarter of Toowoomba's population. And they had a whole city to rebuild. Think of all the infrastructure and then this temple to erect. And so when opposition came, things slowly ground to a halt. And they started to pour all their energy into building their own homes. And that was 16 years ago. 16 years ago. And somehow they never got back to finishing the temple. Congregation, it's not that they didn't want to. It's just that there were so many other things to do. And so they put it off. The time isn't ready yet. Procrastination. In these verses, we have the word of God over against the word of the people. And we see that God does not remain silent when his people procrastinate. God sends his servant Haggai to deal with it and to confront it. Point is, congregation, that God doesn't say, well, if you reckon the time isn't right, okay, no big deal, later's fine. God doesn't say that. God considers that a serious matter, and so he sends Haggai with a message, thus says the Lord. This morning it leaves us with a bit of a problem, doesn't it? God obviously doesn't like procrastination. So how do we apply Haggai 1 to ourselves living in our day and age? We're not the Israelites coming back from Babylon. And we don't have a temple to rebuild. We don't even have a church to build. You know, I can imagine that this text that down through the centuries has often been trotted out when a church has commenced a building project. Hey, it's a pretty good text for that, isn't it? You know, things are not going so well, and the pastor gets up on Sundays and he says, is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your panelled houses while this house remains a ruin, while remains unbuilt? But we're not building a church. And so do we just use this as a kind of a general challenge against procrastinators? So that when your children are putting off their schoolwork, you take out Haggai and read it to them? As children, you quote it to Dad when he's putting off yet again his promise to take you out somewhere? Well, maybe, congregation, but I want to show you that the issue is much, much more serious than that. You see, congregation, temple building for these people is doing the work of God. If you like, this is kingdom work, and especially the kingdom work of getting ready for the coming of Jesus in Bethlehem. And that brings this whole matter of procrastination uncomfortably close to us this morning. This morning I could remind you that there is a great deal of work to be done in the kingdom of God of which the church is a part. I could make a very, very long list this morning. Let me just mention some things. We need again in the coming year cadet counsellors. We're looking for another one. We could do with some more GEMS counsellors. We're going to need Sunday school teachers, and we're looking for a church ed class instructor, a discipleship class instructor to replace Mr. Mose, who's done it for a few years. We need folk on session and on the committee of management. Our Christian school needs people on the board and to do voluntary work there. Our state schools need scripture classes desperately. We need more Kids Hope mentors. And then there's the whole matter of outreach, dropping some leaflets in a letterbox, grabbing a challenge out of the foyer and handing it to that unbelieving neighbour or unbelieving friend, marking lessons for Crossroad Bible Institute, supporting Leprosy Mission, Bible League. The list goes on and on and on, congregation. All of those things and many, many more, and they're really helping to prepare for the return of Jesus. Yes, I'd love to help out, but right now I'm renovating my house. I'd love to be more active in the church, but really, I just struggle to fit it in. Sorry. And I'd like to give more to missions to make sure the word of God goes out, but my mortgage payments are a real problem at the moment. Do you get the drift, brothers and sisters? That's what they were saying at the time of Haggai. God wanted them to help to prepare for the first coming of Jesus, for the coming of that first Christmas, and they procrastinated. God wants us to help prepare for the second coming of Jesus, and so often we procrastinate. And then maybe, congregation, the worst kind of procrastination is when we put off working on our relationship with God. When I was getting this message ready, and I got it ready a couple of weeks ago when I was preaching in Inala, I was speaking that week to a man in this congregation. He's not here this morning, so he won't know that I'm talking about him, and you won't know who it is, so you can't tell him. But he was struggling with some personal issues. And I looked him in the eye and I said to him, "So how's it going with your Bible reading?" And he looked kind of sheepishly and said, "Well, I hope to get back to that soon." Procrastination. In 1,001 ways, Jesus is calling us to work at building the kingdom of Christ. And yet so often we procrastinate. I want to show you this morning from our text how seriously God treats procrastination when it comes to his kingdom. This is not just about putting off exams or tidying your room, but building the kingdom, that kind of procrastination. We detect something of God's anger in these verses. Notice verse 2, how God speaks about his people. If you've got your Bible open, look at verse 2. Normally God calls his people my people. Right throughout the Old Testament, again and again. What does he call them here? He addresses them differently, not my people. What does he say? These people. These people say the time is not yet ready. Brothers and sisters, please notice that. Not my people, but these people. These people are saying, we'll do it when we get around to it. And there is God's rebuke in those words. In fact, there's more than a rebuke in this passage. Haggai is showing them that procrastination is such a serious business in God's sight that it meets with God's discipline. And Haggai comes to tell them that God has been dealing with them for their laziness and for their wrong focus. God has been dealing with them with his people in difficult ways to arouse them to action. And the trouble is they haven't got the message. And so God sends Haggai to spell it out for them. When you read this chapter, you notice that things are not going well for Israel. They've got a few problems in their society. Verse 6, notice what it says there. Things haven't been going well. They've got a few problems. Long period of drought, runaway inflation, it's all there. Verse 6, you've planted much but have harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put clothes on but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. And the fact is that things are not going well is no accident. This is not just some freak of nature that has upset things. It's not some kind of El Nino effect that is causing the drought. God is doing it to his people and he's doing it for a reason. And the reason is there in verse 9. Notice it. You expected much, but see it turned out little. And then especially these words. What you brought home, I blew away. God was doing it to his people. And if you want to know why, then the answer is given very, very specifically. Why? Because my house which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. And the Lord goes on to tell them that that is the reason for the drought. Notice, congregation, how very carefully God connects their neglect with their poverty. He links their laziness when it comes to kingdom things to their present hardship. God is making a very, very clear connection between faithfulness and blessing, between unfaithfulness and withholding of blessings. It's a kind of a picture of the perfect justice of God. God always makes the punishment fit the crime. And so their procrastination came because of their wrong priorities, because they were busy with just material things. And so God now makes their punishment fit the sin as he gives them material difficulties. In these verses, there's no mention of sickness, no mention of disease, no mention of enemies attacking them. Rather, a materialistic nation is being told of materialistic hardships. God is telling them there's a reason for their tough times. And then he points the finger at that unfinished temple, the ruins of the temple, their unfinished work. This morning it would be tempting to read that and then sort of apply it to ourselves and then particularly to point to all the many good things that God has given us to enjoy. And then on that basis we might claim this morning that, well, at least we're faithful servants of God. We say, well, look how well off we are. Look how many good things we've been enjoying, even this Christmas season, despite tough economic times and despite a recent drought again. Maybe all of that is a sign of our faithfulness. Maybe. But let's be careful, congregation, how we apply that. Notice that Haggai says these people are still living in paneled houses. That's a graphic picture of relative affluence and luxury. Let me single out three ways in which God is dealing with them. Three ways in which God is disciplining the Jews here in Haggai. First and most obviously, there are things that God directly withholds. And so despite them being well off, there are many things in which they're running short, and God actually withholds the rain and the dew so that the crops fail. Secondly, what God does give, he gives without his blessing. And so Haggai says, you're eating, but you're not getting filled. You're drinking, but it's insufficient. You've got clothes, but you hardly seem warm. The blessing is withheld from what they do receive. And then thirdly, congregation, there is their own unsatisfied longings and desires. All they were living for was affluence and luxury and material things, and it was never enough. They always wanted more. And Haggai says, it's like putting your money into a purse with holes. And I'm reminded of the billionaire who was interviewed on a current affair program on one occasion. And the interviewer said, let me ask you this question. How much money is enough? And he very tellingly said, just a little more. And that's what materialism does to us. This morning it would be tempting for us to say, well, you know, here's a picture of our nation. Here's Australia living in relative affluence but beset by many problems. Enjoying many, many good things, but it's never enough. And time again, we're troubled by droughts and natural disasters, and the economy's not looking good, and we've got so many issues. Well, okay, congregation, there are some general principles that we could apply to Australia as a nation. God certainly does not bless apostasy and godlessness. And when our society goes in the way of materialism, then it can expect difficulties. But if we apply Haggai 1 this morning to our nation, we'd miss an important point. It is God's people, congregation, who are being addressed. Israel, the returned exiles, even if God doesn't call them my people and instead calls them these people, they're still his. And that changes the whole picture. Here, congregation, is not punishment so much as chastisement. Not so much judgment as discipline. God is dealing with them in order to bring about change in their life. This is the disciplining hand of God on his own people, and the goal is to lead them to change. That means, brothers and sisters, that in times of hardship, we need to ask ourselves, what is God really saying to us? Is blessing being withheld because we're procrastinating? Because we've been unfaithful? Is the Lord teaching me in times of difficulty that I have a duty that I'm not performing as I ought? Am I procrastinating on a task that God has given me in preparing for the coming kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ? Right throughout all of this, there is a very positive purpose, and that purpose is that the people might take note and change. In fact, there's a couple of very positive and encouraging and comforting things that I want to highlight. First of all, God includes in Haggai a call to self-examination. Notice in verse 5, and it's repeated in verse 7, Haggai calls out to the people, give careful thought to your ways. He's really saying, take a good hard look at your behavior. Think about it. Isn't it true you've been procrastinating? Isn't it spot on that you've been selfish and that all your priorities are really wrong? Do some self-examination. Hey, in the Reformed Church, we're used to self-examination. We're called to do that every Sunday before Lord's Supper. We have a bit of a preparatory thing saying, next week's Lord's Supper and you need to examine yourself. And so how do we do the self-examination? Realize that although we're righteous in Christ, we're still sinners who need the gospel. Secondly, to rejoice in the finished work of Jesus, yes, and all of that is part of it, congregation. But here, Haggai especially is calling them to focus on their behavior. Consider your ways. In other words, not only have I sinned against God's commandments, but have I also neglected to do what he wants me to do. Self-examination, give careful thought to your ways. That's not just for the week before Lord's Supper, brothers and sisters. The whole of our life, as we work for the building of the kingdom of Jesus, we need to be examining ourselves, considering our ways. A second positive thing is that Haggai then also issues a challenge to act. He calls on them to finish what they've begun. Verse 8, go up into the mountains, bring down timber and build a house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. See, congregation, self-examination doesn't help much if it isn't followed by action. And so God is really saying, get your priorities right and stop stalling. Stop your procrastinating. Have done with putting things off. Get up with it and get on with it. Before these people spoke about their time, that the time wasn't yet right. Now God speaks of his time. Do it now. Do it today. Get busy, Israel. Get that temple finished. And then the reason that God gives, congregation, is beautiful. It's so that he may be honored and he may be glorified. Glorified and honored in the building of that temple. And then Haggai isn't just thinking, congregation, about some magnificent physical structure. Rather, he's thinking about what that temple that they were to build was going to be used for. It would be important in keeping true faith alive in Israel until Jesus comes. And that would be for God's glory and that would be for his honor. But more important, congregation, that temple would be used by Jesus. That's why it needed to be ready. He was brought into it to be dedicated as a little baby. And when he dies on the cross, the veil in that temple will be torn in two to show that the way to God is completely open. No more barriers between God and us. Can you see why Jesus, when he was 12, was in the temple and said, I have to be in my Father's house and be about my Father's business? Get on with building that temple, Israel. Because Jesus is coming, Christmas is going to happen, and things must be ready when he arrives. Today, brothers and sisters, we who are sitting here in church this morning are called to do the same kingdom work. Building the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're building a temple, folks. Not a temple made out of bits of rock, but a temple made out of living stones of which Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Here is your calling. Here is your task. Let's not procrastinate, but work at it till Jesus returns. Because all of this is not for us. It's so that he will take pleasure in the work of our hands and so that he might be honored when he returns. Amen.